dozing, drifting, relaxing, at ease and peace, sure, thinking a bit, feeling the air around you. Outside noise is a distant, pleasant drone. The methodical drone is something else, actually. A distant sound coming clearer, closer. In the heat and the drift of you, you feel the seat under you. Not hugely comfortable, but comfortable enough. You feel the hard surface you'd been resting on. Head laying on your forearms, which are folded across your desk. The drone becomes words, ending with four you might recognize. Resolving in. See me after class. You realize you must have drifted off. This classroom is atypical. Desks are arranged in a ring around the edges. The professor stands in the middle. Tucked in the back corner as you are, you felt you could get away with it. And you weren't particularly interested in a lecture on lighting, in a photography course you only took for an easy elective anyway. But the instructor's looking at you, not with visible anger or even contempt, just a long-suffering, tired expression of a professor failing to get through, or who's aware their class is seen as an easy pass. She's definitely young compared to other faculty, but for adjunct positions on arts subjects like photography, that isn't so odd either. T-shirt, jeans, a severe expression, blonde hair pulled back into a rough ponytail, a pair of small glasses that suit her narrow facial structure. She isn't saying anything. Methodically, slowly, still drowsy, you push your books into a bag, stow it under your seat. Better to wait for her to speak first. But she virtually ignores you as everyone else files out, giving you a brief glance, then walking toward the dark room. It's a bit of an anachronism now. Any photographer worth their salt is using digital, unless they're doing classic development for its aesthetic value. Which must be the case with her. She pushes open the outer door and beckons you over. You stand up, leaving your books, and meander, still drowsy, inside that room. She flicks the switch for the amber-colored light inside, since if any prints were processing, they'd be unharmed by that. Complete darkness can also be achieved for processing color prints, but she stands by the switches and points you to one of the high workbench stools inside. Brown eyes follow your progress unblinkingly as you sit. She has rather large pupils. She leans back onto one of the stools nearby herself. She must really be going to give you a tongue-lashing if she's taken you into the privacy and relative soundproofing of the darkroom as extra insurance. You hear her click her tongue, long fingers reaching out, and then flicking off the amber light, leaving both of you in darkness, you disoriented. Well, if you wanted to sleep, I figure there's nothing important for you to see, yes. Her voice is slightly husky, and you hear her move off her seat. She must have memorized the room's layout, because while you're unable to even clearly remember the door's position, you feel one of her hands lightly brush your scalp as she passes by you on her way into the gloom. Dark rooms are completely dark when the switches are off, though there are handrails around some of the benches. You could find the door if you wanted to, or even in the event of emergency. But you daren't move. It really sucked to have a failed elective, especially one seen as so easy. So maybe contrition's the best move. Maybe this is going to be some kind of lecture about the importance of light. Then her hands are on your shoulders. Her breath is by your ear. She's leaning, looming over you from behind, a rustling of fabric. You feel a pliant warmth connect with the back of your neck, her pointed nipples against you. She removed her shirt. Her breasts are against your back now. She's lowered, rubbing in place in slow circles while she simply breathes next to your ear. She's saying nothing, but her arms wrap around you, pinning your own arms to your side, as her long fingers slip down, insinuating within clothing, and beginning to work your body over. She rubs your sides, your stomach, But then her hands are abruptly done with foreplay, slipping between your legs. Before you even register the initial touch, there's something strange with the way she moves. Her hands are just in one place, where a moment before she was touching you one place, somewhere out of the darkness. Her hands touch, slide, glide, gripping the back of your neck, running her fingernails along your scalp. One hand always teasing between your legs, but never quite staying long enough to fully register. She just moves around you. You know that to one side of you there was a table, but she's just moving, her breathing growing more heated, seeming to fluidly flow around you in the dark. Everything is insubstantial. You breathe deep, hardly able to believe your luck. She is quite attractive, and you know from the feel of her nipples before that she is nude. She touches you as efficiently as you could have done, one hand between your legs now, moving in a masturbatory grace. She seems to know just what to do. Even if you were in private getting yourself off, you couldn't be quite this efficient bringing yourself toward climax. Long fingers curl and move, an insistent rubbing which doesn't seem calculated to let you come, but rather to begin the ascent. Maybe she's starting off slow. She slides against you, rubbing her breasts in circles against your back. A quiet moan echoes in your ear, even while pleasure throbs in your body. She begins counting while pressing her fingers against you, hands inside your clothes, doing more than just touch between your legs, more than just masturbate, exploring your contours there in the dark. You worry your arousal will end up staining your clothes or dripping onto the workbench. But that worry is nothing compared to the way you're drifting off, this time in pleasure instead of drowsiness. She has a way of overwhelming with her proximity. Your mind is filled with the euphoric, ecstatic pulses of her precise hands. And she doesn't stop, but she is now counting. One. Her fingers move faster, more urgently, as if she were trying to push you toward climax with her understanding movements, her direct stimulation, too. She pushes her fingers tight against your thighs, then, stopping stimulation, digging her nails in just a little bit, but then goes back to rubbing her palms to move you toward climax, slowly. One hand is sliding up to your chest, but the other's locked between your legs, getting you off as you would. Three. She stops. Her hands are moved. You're turned on. You wish she'd continue. Her breasts rub against your back, then up your shoulders. She's resting her chin on top of your head. She doesn't need to see anything, so she's just making sure to make contact. And when her breasts touch the back of your bare neck, the heat of them is obvious. You feel their sweated warmth as well as the moist sign of your own arousal on the hand she's sliding between your inner thigh, where it does nothing to pleasure you except arouse you by contact with her, and back between your legs to get you closer, those rhythmic movements she's inflicting on you. Then she slides atop you, somehow perched gracefully on the stool, steadying on the counter with one hand, riding against your body, her breasts pushed to your face. Her hands are no longer between your legs. Instead, she's grinding her ass and her wet sex. She is nude, after all, against you. You feel it because she takes one hand and slides it between her legs, letting you get turned on by contact with her while grinding, letting some friction and awareness of her continue an arousal that stopped when she stopped touching you. But then she's touching you again, curling two fingers down into your clothes and curling with pleasure. Slight. Gentle, momentary contact is enough. You're rising, rising. She grips you, her voice in your ear. You want more. She slowly kisses along the back of your neck. She's intertwined with you, the hand in front of her, between you, her with eerie grace, managing to stimulate, to masturbate you more efficiently than you could yourself. She grips you, lays her lips against your neck, sucks, kisses deeply. You know there's going to be a mark. The arousal in her body is obvious too, for she's bucking her hips, grinding her ass, managing somehow to stay atop you, to move with perfection and precision. You think you see a flash in the dark. Red. Purple. Hard to tell. Impossible. This place is light sealed. And then she starts moving you closer and closer to orgasm. You hear her counting again in your ear. One. She slows her manipulations. You shudder against her in the palm of her hand. Quite literally, it's down there between your legs. Your breath catches in your throat. She seems satisfied by that based on the smile in her voice when she whispers, two. Her hands leave just the fingertips against you, the lightest touches, one between your legs, one on the back of your neck, lightly massaging the place where she left her mark. You see again that faint flash in the dark. You don't know where anything is anyway, so you stay there. She seems to see perfectly. You imagine you see her eyes shimmering in that darkness. But her voice is all purr, and you must have imagined it. You can sometimes see dancing lights in the dark of this place. Closer and closer. Not yet. Not yet. And her hands continue providing only occasional stimulation, but you've been brought so close that your whole body is arching, aching to her touch, squirming for her. She slides off of you. She moves your clothes out of the way, pulling, tugging, desperate. You're not entirely sure that they haven't been ripped a little, and it turns you on more. Kisses her way down. Breathes hotly against you. Just breathes. Her hands return, her breath added to the equation. You feel climax approaching, but unbidden you clench your buttocks and steel your muscles and mind against the rising tide. You haven't been told to come yet, and you know the game will be more fun played by her rules. You hear her counting, but it's not next to your ear this time. It's down there, warmly breathing against you, rubbing her breasts against your legs and knees down there in little circles. One. Feels so good, too. You know what she's going to do. Three. She sounds breathless and disappointed and aroused, but she stops. Stops all stimulation. Your own arousal barely goes down at all. Still spiked, peaked, kept up where it is. You're still so close. Your body thumping with craving for a climax you know will be explosive after all the edging that you knew she was going to do. The edging you near that she has done thus far. You need the payoff. If she turned the lights on and made you go as throbbing, pent up, over-teased, and needy as you are now, well, you might regret the loss of the opportunity, so you stay still and let her work her magic. And when her hands resume their movements, it is magic. They're barely even touching you directly, not as you'd like, but she's pushing at the flesh of your thighs and up and along your sides, through your abdomen, pushing little points inside somehow. Laying her hands on your knees, you feel her breasts pull upward and rub up and up as she climbs you in one fluid motion. She makes you aware of it, gliding her hands, her legs. It seems impossible for her to move that way, that precisely. You know full well you haven't kept perfectly still. You've been twitching, been moving in the dark, and yet she slides and reentwines herself against you. But lets her legs, her feet stay on the floor, her arms around your shoulders, her body against yours with your spread legs on the stool. You're pushed back against the counter. She's between your legs. She's running a hand down and just making you come closer, closer, closer. Her hot breath against the back of your neck. As she nestles into you, her breasts against your chest, her arms around you, you try to roll your hips, hump yourself against her movements, try to get some kind of stimulation. You feel her breath once more, a scolding, discouragement on your ear. And then she kisses your cheek, your chin, your neck, on her way downward. Fingers still gliding around the periphery of your body, exploring its contour. Like she's drawing you in the dark for herself with her fingers. She must see perfectly, but you know she's using more than just her eyes. Down, Down she slides, her breath down, and then against your chest, her face against your abdomen, then between your legs, a long hot breath. She leans in and licks. Her tongue seems impossibly long, entwining, exploring, pressing, the longest, slowest, most enrapturing lick. And then she pulls her head and mouth away, leaving the moisture of her saliva. You can no longer even feel her breath. Her hands converge between your legs now, working you toward climax again with a nimbleness you wish you could see. She must see perfectly in the dark, which means she must be able to see all of you, especially the way you ride the pleasure, relaxation, the way she's been sending you up and down again. She presses a hand into your inner thigh, pushing one of those stimulatable points she was hitting upon before. Frustratingly, teasingly, constantly. The other moves as methodically as your own could, between your legs, masturbating you up, but you know that your body is consciously and subconsciously holding the orgasm back for the moment she permits it. After all, she might bring you in here again, if you can nail the timing when she will surely give you that orgasm at the end of this roller coaster of pleasure. You still try to roll your hips, you can't help it, and she clicks her tongue, frustratingly, teasingly reducing the pleasure. You've gotten in the habit of being edged by her, even in a short time. You don't want to risk breaking the rules and having her stop it, and so you just sit there, aware of her. She's kneeling in front of you, her breasts against your leg, her mouth breathing hotly over and against your skin. One hand massaging your thigh, your abdomen, the other expertly working you through strong waves of pleasure that are mounting, mounting, threatening to wash you away. She pulls back, parting the wonderful contact of her warm chest from your skin. Her hands move away as well, leaving you there, twitching, dripping. The massage from her palm on your inner thigh resumes. It's enough to make you raise your hips a little, but doing that with her pressing you down like that, her other hand sliding up your chest, is quite difficult. Nothing's between your legs, but it practically feels like it is. The pleasure's been built in now, and she begins to count without even touching you. One. She massages your inner thigh without even touching between your legs anyway. All she's doing is touching that one massage point and your chest, back and forth, but when she counts, two. You squeeze, you tense, this is it, this must finally be it, she's gonna let you come, you're so close, your eyes rolling back, kept on the edge, the ragged, bare edge of what you can stand, of what you can imagine, of how close you can imagine being to climax, so your thoughts get a little bit confused, scrambled, but you know pleasure. You bathe in pleasure, awash in pleasure. Every second that you're there, you're feeling good. And she is no longer touching because she no longer needs to. What she's set up in you is an echo, a resonation. If she hadn't banned you from orgasming yet, you would have come a while ago, maybe more than once, your whole body sweated and exhausted. But because you're trying to play by her rules, and because that counting is now bound up in your brain, you just feel yourself sitting there caught up in it, caught up in that control. You know you're going to be paying attention. You'll be paying attention to everything she does. You're acutely aware of the contours of her body now, because while you were being examined by her fingers, marked by that little love bite on your neck, while you were being tormented in that way, brought close, let go, brought close, let go, you learned something about the contours of her body, the splendid, warm, yielding flesh of her against you. Warm. Your mind is full of warmth. The space between your legs is hot beyond understanding, and your body is going through these little shivers, these sensations where your leg or your arm will twitch in a pre-orgasmic state of pent-up, barely controlled thought. If you were allowed to come, all of you would be racked and thrown. All of you would be coming. You're not really sure if you'd be able to stay on the stool after the intensity of what would happen to you if you were permitted. But because you're not, it just leaks out in dribs and drabs, little bits of almost orgasmic pleasure creeping to the edges of you, encouraging the disorganized, horny thought process that makes you very attentive to whatever she might want to do. You know she's there. You feel her breathing. You hear her sigh. You feel her attentions as she reaches out, and pats you lightly on the shoulder. You're left throbbing there. She steps away. You hear the rustle of her putting her clothes on. You're still mostly in yours, though she pushed them aside. She opens the door. The light doesn't quite reach you. You see her, with her hair even messier, in jeans and t-shirt, silhouetted in the light. The door clicks closed behind her. You can stimulate yourself now, sure. But it won't be the same. Throb, 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 an ache in the dark.